Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go! All right. I am here today with Gina Wilson, who has been a photographer with us for a long time now, which I didn't look it up, and I always flub this part in the beginning. Gina, thank you for being here today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, and as we talk about people who work and shoot and creative people for the Orion Photo Group, what I really think is interesting is the stories about them. And then, you know, going out and shooting weddings. And I think that everybody always has interesting stories to tell. But I'm going to just read through your bio a little bit here so we can get to know you a little bit better. So you are you were born and raised in Cincinnati. Go Bengals. I can see that behind you there.
Hooday.
Hooday, exactly. And you currently live in North Carolina, and you've called Atlanta, Georgia for your home for a long time. So where exactly are you in North Carolina?
I'm in Lexington. It's really dead smack in the middle of Greensboro and Charlotte.
Gotcha. Charlotte is a beautiful city. And actually Greensboro is very, very pretty as well. I have a few friends that live there. It's such a beautiful area, and it must be a really gorgeous place to shoot weddings.
Yes, it's absolutely gorgeous. I encounter a lot of the farm type of weddings, and being where I'm located, I can either be in the mountains or on the beach. So it's also perfect too.
Yeah. And that's one of the really unique things about where you live is that you can be to the beach and be in the mountains so quickly. And the mountains there are really, really beautiful. So you've been shooting weddings for about 11 years. Is that right?
I'll say about 12, going on 13 years now.
Okay, great. And how long you been shooting with us?
I've been shooting with you guys for the past 10 years.
Wow. And I'm just looking at your thing. You've shot almost 100 weddings for us. You're coming up on 100 weddings. And some fun things that we're going to do is we're going to start not giving awards, but recognizing people like yourself who have been shooting with us for a long time. And when I reached out to Nicole about who I should interview for these podcasts, she was like, oh, you have to interview Gina. She was one of those people and who's been with us a while. And again, thank you from everybody here in our offices. But, you know, just in general, I'm sure, you know, when you shoot 95 weddings for people, you must be doing something right.
I love what I do. I truly love what I do.
So talk to us about how 12 years shooting weddings. Talk to us. I love to hear the origin story about how you got into photography and what was that spark that got you into it?
Well, for me, I grew up, my father was my spark. Hmm. He was the guy with the camera, either the point and shoot camera. He had an old Nikon. I can still see it in my head. And he also had a JVC camcorder. He was the guy that documented everything, every party, every family gathering. And so with that spark from my father, I continued on in my own personal life. And that's why I love what I do. I do it so effortlessly because I know that we're documenting memories.
Yeah.
And we have memories of all the photos, all the videos that I have from my family, all were documented by my father. So that's what that spark kind of drew for me. But when in regards to wedding, it was a long road before wedding.
Okay. And you know, talk to us about that long road a little bit. Like, yeah.
So my background is in television production.
Okay.
I went to college and I did it in high school. Mm-hmm. I was an AV club type of girl. Mm-hmm. And I did it in college. So I had dreams of working in CNN and writing the news, mm-hmm. and being in a big television production. But life changed. And so as life changed on, I had all these background skills in television. I had all that skills for events, for everything that I do in weddings or weddings and photography. I had it in video first. So I had an ex-boyfriend of mine. He said, "You know, you should do photography." And I'm like, "Yeah, I do. I'm a video girl. I don't know anything about that." And I took a chance and I bought my first camera. It's a Nikon. I'm a Nikon user. My first camera, I bought it and I said, "You know what? I'm going to do everything that I can." So I did. I shot everything until I came across in Atlanta. I did an internship. And they were a very small wedding photography company, but they also did events. So my very first wedding, I was a fifth shooter. The fifth shooter. And, but I ever since then, that first wedding, it had everything that I had in my background. It had the production, it had the directing, it had the behind the scenes, it had all of that, and I fell in love, and that's where a wedding started for me.
Gotcha. Cool. And I think it's, shooting those first events can always be so harrowing and nerve-wracking. That probably was a really great way for you to kind of, get started by being the fifth photographer on something. That must have been quite an event.
And I was terrified because I think it had been the first wedding in my adult life that I had gone to. I've been to weddings, but as a small person. So as an adult, I'm like, I haven't been to a wedding. I didn't know what to expect. And ever since, because I'm not married, I'm one of those wedding photographers who are not married, but I fell in love and I've been in love forever. I will stay in love forever and ever. I told people a couple of weeks ago when we had the Powerball. And I said, "Well, if I should, I bought my one little ticket, and if I should win this, if I am the winner of this $1.2 billion, I would still shoot my weddings. I
Nice.
would still do it. Even I would be a well decorated photographer, but I definitely would still continue doing it, even if I had all the money in the world."
That's amazing. And as somebody who shot weddings for over 30 years, if I won the lottery too, one of the things that I do miss about shooting weddings is the being part of that day and the love and the excitement that's in the air and the party, right?
The
I love
party.
the parties. The parties are always so much fun, and it would be great to be able to just think about it from the perspective of enjoying going to capture those events. Because I know, like, when I do go to weddings now as a guest, I'm so bored. I'm so bored, and I love being because mainly it's just you're just so involved in the wedding day as a whole. As a guest, you're just kind of like a standby person that you're an active participant, but you're not really involved. So, and it's really hard for me to take a step back where, usually my wife is like, she'll grab my wrist and be like, no, you stay here. You're not getting involved in this. So, that's really great. I'm sorry you didn't win the lottery.
Oh man. Maybe the next time is at $1.2 billion.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll come back soon. But so you started working for somebody, and you started getting your feet wet, and you realized that this was a path that you wanted to go. And talk to me about, I always like to ask successful people who shoot with us about the portfolio process and gathering images. And I'm looking at your Lily and Lime portfolio and your OPG portfolios. And what I love about a lot of your images is there's a definitely your brides look so comfortable. And I can see the smile in their faces and looking at your smile, and I can see why they're so comfortable. Is there any advice you can give? That's the learned practice. Can you talk to me
It
about how you do that?
the one thing that I learned from working behind the scenes, period, is that you got to connect with people.
Hmm.
I
Love that.
because oftentimes they have this camera shoved in their face. They got this creepy person behind it. They've met for the very first time. They don't know you from a hill of beans, and they're nervous. I always, before, you know, I love the fact that we talk to our brides before we even come on site for the wedding day. I ask them about how he proposed, you know, their love story. I do a little chat with them. I try to make everybody feel comfortable because I'm a chatty patty, but the number one reason why I'm a chatty patty is because I never meet a stranger. So I always try to make everyone feel like, hey, I'm, you know, I'm your friend. I'm here to hang out. I'm excited. You know, I laugh along with the guests and I try to connect with their mothers, their friends, even grandmas that are there, you know, that are there in the room when we're getting ready. I try to connect with everyone. So by that time, they not only feel comfortable with me, but they trust what I do. Because there's times where I may have to jump in and give them a little direction, and I may, and they may ask me for a suggestion. And I want to make sure that they feel comfortable that not only do they have a person they can, a real person behind this lens that's there. Because I tell all of my couples, the photographer, the visual team, we're the closest vendor. We're there for 8 hours.
For sure.
We're the ones that are there the closest. We're in the room. The DJ just shows up after the you know, during the ceremony. And the caterer, nobody even knows the caterer until you start eating. But the visual team, we are there. We're in the room when they're getting dressed. We're in the room when they're crying. We're even there when there's a meltdown sometimes. But
sometimes.
Sometimes. But more importantly, we're just people, and I try to connect with every single one of my brides, every single one.
And you can see those connections in these images, and I want to expand on that a little bit more because I was, you know, I shot for a big company like OPG for many years, and quite often it can be hard because you don't meet the bride and groom before the wedding or the couple before the wedding, and making that connection via the phone call might be your only opportunity to do that. And it's not an easy thing to do. I can tell you're very easy to talk to, but are there any cues or is there any advice that, like, because you've made hundreds of these calls now with them. So my first, I know that we tell them that you want to connect before, about a week before the wedding. Is it always a phone call with you? Or, you know, is there any advice you can give on icebreakers in that conversation or something like that?
I don't know. I think for me, because I'm so natural at communicating with people, everything feels kind of organic. But if I were to give anybody advice, I would definitely, the way I reach out to everyone, the number one icebreaker really is asking how he proposed. That gets them talking.
Oh, that's fantastic advice. Okay.
That's the number one thing that I do on, because every time we start that call, we could easily just jump into it. But I want to sit back for just a minute. You've been planning this wedding for months. We're now down to the last hour. Everything is so stressful. And now you got this new person that you may have booked 12 months ago, but now we're popping up, you know, 5 days before your wedding day. So I really want to just not jump into the excitement, but kind of step back. And I try to giggle with them when they tell me about the love story. And then oftentimes I do a he say, she say. And I always do that, especially if he's included, because I try to encourage them. I encourage every single bride to have the groom come along, because in that way she has her partner there. Someone kind of relaxes her a little bit. And when she doesn't want to talk so much, he can jump in, so that way all the spotlight's not on her. So then that's when I do it. He say, she say, because the story's always different coming from a male and a female. I ask her how she proposed. And then I turn around and I say, okay, Adam, so how did you propose? And that causes giggles and they start laughing. The stories are always, their versions are always different. But that's really one of my fun, because I like to laugh. So one of my fun icebreakers.
And that's super duper awesome advice. Having those cues ready so that the last thing you want to do is enter that phone call in an awkward way or be awkward. And obviously, we all get better at doing everything. So much of our job is not just about the wedding, it's about taking pictures. I know some incredibly talented photographers that could never shoot a wedding because they just don't have the personality to do it. We need, and that's the one thing I love about wedding photographers, and I've loved working in this industry for so long, is that most of us are incredibly animated personalities. And you know, unless you're just, you know, one of those, I'm just a photojournalist, you know, and I never talk to anybody, or you're somebody like Joe Busink, if you remember that name, where he said he would, he was always the second shooter in the wedding, but he was an incredibly animated person. So having those icebreakers, one of the things that I used to do is as I got older, I would walk in, when I would walk into a room, I would tell a dad joke of some kind. And yeah. Which makes my kids' eyes roll now, but my teenagers, but it works. And anything you can do to immediately put them at ease to say, and what I love about your question is what it does is it immediately takes it off of you, because they're looking for something bad, right? When they're talking to you, they're immediately looking for something. And when you turn it around on them and get them to talk about themselves, wedding day is all about them. So anytime you can ask those questions like that, it just deflects so well that's amazing. So great question on that. I really, really appreciate it. And for those of you who are listening, I'd love to hear more about the questions that you might ask a bride and groom or a couple for your wedding day. So, all right, let's move on to the next question. You're a Nikon shooter. I'm not going to hold that against you. and I know that's always a big sticking point. Mm-hmm. But I was a Nikon shooter when I shot film many, many years ago. And a quick story on that is as when I found many of the early digital cameras were not full frame. And then when the 5D Mark I came out, the Canon camera, and Nikon announced that they may not come out with a full frame sensor for like 10 years. I was like, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Nikon. I'm out. And I've never turned back. So, all right. The next question I want to ask you is, I see that you've attended, I want to talk about education a little bit. Mm-hmm. I see that you've attended PPA and WPPI maybe. I want, first of all, talk to me about, are you a regular attendee? You've attended a few conferences.
I've attended a few conferences when I lived in Atlanta
PPA, with the, yeah, Imaging USA.
Yes, but their home base being in Atlanta, so every 4 years they have a convention in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I've done two of those.
Okay.
And it was an amazing experience, like truly amazing, to where there are so many resources, mm-hmm. so many products, so many people that I had no clue that was available to me. I took every single class, and if I could afford it, I even paid for some of the extra ones.
Oh, nice.
You know, I mean, the day before, you know, those when they have those classes, they're really worth it. I tell anyone to do those conventions because they're really valuable. They're really beneficial to not only honing your skills and your talent, but also meeting amazing people.
Yeah.
I've met so many people that I'm still connected with, you know, at those conventions.
Yeah. And it's going to be a big push of mine to, I've done some kind of straw polls with OPG photographers, and not a lot of photographers attend these conferences and trade shows. And I'm really going to try and push people to it, because I do feel like, especially for newer attendees, it's a life-changing experience for most people. And the good part is that I generally will be attending most of these. I'll be at Imaging USA it's in Nashville this year. I actually prefer when it's in Atlanta. Nashville, and that can't be too far from you too. But the perk of that is that I generally will do like a happy hour, and I'll buy you a free drink while you're there. So there's that incentive as well. And then WPPI too. I know it's a big trip coming from the East Coast to go to Vegas, but that's generally a good one too. And you know, side note, I used to work for them, so I used to be the conference director for them. Before I was there for about 5-6 years. So education is really key, and it can be a life-changing experience, not only from the education standpoint, standpoint, but from the people that you'll meet. And you know, some of my best friends have been friends for over 10, 20 years now, and I couldn't live without them in our industry. But along those lines, portfolio process and you know, I'm looking at your account here. Your portfolio has been shown over 200 times in the last 365 days.
Wow.
So like that's a lot. And you know, your portfolio, the amount of people that choose you from your portfolio is almost over 100%. So people go to you and pick you right away because of your portfolio. And I really want to stress how important that is as a lead photographer in gathering those images. So my first question to you, and you know, do you update your portfolio regularly? And if not, you know, talk to me about how you gather your images and figure that out.
So I do. I do update it once at the end of the year.
Okay.
And then what I do throughout the year, on every wedding that I do, something that kind of stands out, anything that was epic, anything that I really challenged myself on, and it came out the way that I was anticipating, I try to flag those in my own personal cataloging style. And then at the end of the year, I'm gonna probably start doing it after Thanksgiving. It's probably gets slower for me. I gather all those images up. I relive them because I relive the moments over again, and I find images that I may have missed, and then I try to take at least 10 to 15 from each wedding of that year that builds their story. Or if there was one wedding that had an epic photo that I really, really, really loved the most, and I try to gather all those together, I tell every person that I encounter when I am working, I tell them all the time, I say, make sure you build that portfolio, you know, make sure you get those images, because you never know when you can use them. You can use them for your own personal branding. You can use them for your own building your portfolio so that you can build and get more bookings. And I try to update that every year. I know the past 2 years I've been pretty on top of it, but you know, before then I had a little slow period personally, but now that I've gotten up on it, you know, I try to send new images to try to send images to you guys so that you guys can go through them and update my portfolio and keep everything updated and fresh.
And I can't and so guys, if you're listening, the proof is in the pudding, right? She updates her portfolio. And again, like, education for me is so important, but also if you're working with us, keeping that portfolio updated is going to be a big thing that I'm going to be working on, educating photographers that are working for us. And if you're an associate and you're working your way up to a lead, my big thing about gathering images and doing your portfolio images is making it an ongoing process. So it's not, and I think you need to find your own way when you're doing this. Some people just it sounds like you like to reflect on the year, which just sounds awesome. Like, you get through Thanksgiving. This is always that, like, this part of this is like the most my favorite time of year as a photographer and my hated time of year as a photographer, right? Because we know what we're going into, right? We know things are going to whoop, slow down. Yeah. Yep. And at the same time, it's a great time to reflect. So you sound like the kind of person, you gather the images, you archive them, and then you spend the time in December going through those and reflecting on the year. And I think that's the perfect. And then in January, you send your images. That sounds like what your process is. So, and I can't stress that enough. If you've been with us for a while and you haven't updated your portfolio in over a year, please, if you're having trouble, hey, let's jump on a call, and I'm happy to help you with it. And we're going to be doing some portfolio reviews stuff in January, as well as an education session. I can't stress that enough. Believe it or not, we're almost out of time. I want to see if there's any random piece of advice you can offer OPG photographers in you know, keeping fresh and you know, keeping the experience good for you.
The one thing that I do that I have been for the past 12 years, But I always remember booking season. That is my number one advice. Always know the dates of booking season because people get engaged between November and February. And so that's the reason why I go over and refresh my portfolio to make sure it's available because we got new jewelry on the ring hand. And so new dates are coming up. So yeah, you might be a little bit slow if you have some bookings that your calendar is not full up. Just remember, Thanksgiving is coming, families are getting together, jewelry is going to be gifted. So definitely keep in mind those dates for booking season.
That is great advice. Side note, my wife told me if I gave her an engagement ring during one of the holidays, that I would have to find someplace else to live. So I had to do it in October before the holiday season, but that's just when we're going to be together 24 years and next week, as a matter of fact. So thank
Congratulations.
you, thank you. So our last question is there a piece of gear or something that you've gotten recently that's changed your life? Or talk to me about like gear that you like to shoot with during the year. Like what's your kit? What's in your kit?
All right, so the one piece of gear that I got this year that has blown my mind is the Loom Cube.
Oh, the Loom Cube, yeah.
Yes, I feel like I'm doing an advertisement at this moment. I watched a YouTube channel and he talked about it, and I said, "What is this thing?" So I researched it. I found it on Amazon. I have two. That's how much I love the first one so much that I bought the second one, which is a little bit bigger. But the Loom Cube is absolutely perfect. You get those. You can use it for ring shots. You can use it for just if you need an extra lighting somewhere where it's dark, but you don't want that flash. It is. It's. And plus, it's tiny. You
Yeah.
can put it in your pocket. You can hold it. You can mount it. It's one of the game changers that I've added recently to my kit. So that I have to plug that one a little bit.
I think I'm going to add that. So next in a couple of weeks, I'm doing a gift guide. I think I might grab that one. I actually, a side note, I know the creator of the Luma Cube, and he's probably the one that you watch in the video. He's a character. He's a super, super awesome guy, and a super duper character. That's you know what? That is really good advice. So it's so for those of you who don't know, it's a tiny little light that has a lot of power to it, and it's super small. I think most of them come with a hot shoe mount. And what's neat about it is like you said, it's super portable, but it's constant light. So a lot of newer photographers definitely struggle with off camera lighting. But this is a great little light because you can see exactly what you got. And for stuff like detail shots, like you said, ring shots and stuff like that, man, that would be a superpower with the thing. And the fact that you can put it in your pocket, hand hold it, put your arm up and give yourself a little separation. That's cool. Thank you. That's great advice.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Well, I don't know where the time goes in these. I can't believe we're 30 minutes already, but this is great getting to know you a lot more. And I may grab you for some other education sessions down the road to join us if you're up for
Absolutely.
it. thank you for being on this week's Success Stories. And happy shooting next year and getting that portfolio together.
Thank you. I had a fabulous time. This was a lot of fun.
Cool. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of Success Stories. Do you have a success story you want to share with us? I would love to hear it. You can reach out to me. Whoops. You can reach out to me at jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. It's also in our show notes. And we'd love to hear from you as a thank you. We will send you a little gift like Gina's going to get today. And once again, thank you so much for being on this week's episode of Success Stories. All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode, or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, Jake Group with two P's at orionphotogroup.com. That's Jake Group at orionphotogroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.